In Hebrews chapter number 12, in the Bible, there are all kind of clouds. I started to ask Brother Brad while we were sitting there because he's a techno-Baptist. He and all, a lot of these guys right here, Brother John and all the rest of them, they're very familiar with all the internet things. I don't even know how to term them. Technology, I guess. But one of the things I've been fascinated with recently is the cloud. There's an internet cloud. And, you know, I think about a cloud as being up there and, you know, water molecules on particles of dust or whatever, and you see a cloud and everything. But somewhere up there, there's a cloud that's got messages in it. I don't know how that works. You put your advertising up there and businesses have and it's kind of like a big filing cabinet in the sky, I think. I don't know how it works, but it's up there. It's a cloud. Throughout the Bible, there are all kind of clouds. That's the glory cloud. When they did the tabernacle, the Bible said the fire of God came and the glory of God filled that tabernacle so they couldn't even go in the tabernacle and the glory cloud of God hung over that. And then when they did the temple, the same thing. The glory cloud of God was on that. I mean, the presence of God is so real. Like Brother Mays Jackson used to say in revivals, he said, boy, it gets so real, God would move in. It'd get so foggy, you'd have to have a C&I dog to see how to get around when God was so real in those services. And then there's a guiding cloud in the Bible. Remember, the Bible said of the children of Israel, while they wandered in that wilderness, there was a cloud that guided them, a pillar of cloud that guided them, as well as a pillar of fire that guided them by night. But it was a guiding cloud. But I want to preach to you this morning on a gathering crowd or cloud. A gathering cloud. Look in Hebrews chapter number 12, and he says this, wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that thus so easily beset us, and let us run with patience the race that's set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself, lest you be weary and faint in your mind. Ye have not yet resisted unto blood, striving against sin. Will you bow with me for prayer? Father, I pray now in these next few moments, God, for a very special touch and anointing. Our Father, I realize that God, that you're able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we are able to ask or think. And God, this meeting this morning, this gathering of this church, this called out body of believers, visitors, guests, and then the vast media audience as well, God, that you've appointed this time to speak to our hearts. And God, I pray now the Holy Ghost of God would in fact speak to every heart of every man, woman, boy, and girl. Our Father, I believe you can do that. I believe, God, that, Lord, those who are lost here this morning, that, God, just a very simple word, the word of God could pierce their heart. It's a sharp, two-edged sword. And our Father, they could come in a deep conviction. And, Lord, they could have their sins forgiven, and heaven would be their home for all eternity. And, God, I believe that, God, those of us who have ears to hear, that is those of us who've been saved and the Spirit of God lives inside of us, that, God, you can speak to us a word. God, you could just give us a truth this morning that would radically change our minds and our hearts and cause us to love you more, to be more surrendered and dedicated to you. And so, God, I pray the sweet Holy Ghost of God this morning would do what I cannot do. I pray, God, you'd speak to hearts, and I'll thank you and praise you and give you glory in Jesus' name. Amen. I call your attention, please, back to the first verse there, which is actually our text verse this morning. And you see it, he said, wherefore? Now, the previous chapter, number 11 of Hebrews, he's gone through and listed what we call the heroes of faith. He's listed this great number of people who from Adam all the way through were faithful to God. He talks about David, and he talks about Abraham, and he talks about all the great saints of God, the dear women that he mentions this passage of Scripture. And these are part of that great cloud. But it is not only a great crowd, it is a growing cloud. He mentioned these in chapter number 11, and he says, wherefore, refers back to that group. But can you imagine, this would have been somewhere around maybe 80 or 90 A.D., when this is written, maybe a little later. But what the Holy Ghost of God wrote this, and when Paul makes reference, I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, to that great cloud of witnesses, that is a growing crowd. Because since that time, there have been multiplied millions of people who've joined that gathering cloud there on the other side. And notice some things about that. He says, this crowd, this great cloud of witnesses, he said, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that thus so be easily beset us. Because of this group of people who are on the other side looking back, what a motivation. Certainly, he also goes on and says, and consider the Lord Jesus Christ, who though he was experienced all those things, that he was faithful. He endured all those things. He went through all those things, and he was faithful. And he said, when you consider this great cloud, and when you consider the commission that we have to lay aside every weight, every sin, and run our race, and then when you think about the champion of our salvation, the Lord Jesus Christ, who's there at the right hand of the Father, he said, when you consider him, what a motivation, the crowd that's up there, and then our commission that we have a race to run, and then our Savior, our Christ, who's on the other side. You think about that wonderful truth. Oh, what a motivation for me to be faithful and for you to be faithful. Hey, I was thinking as I was reading through this passage of Scripture, and this little thought came to my mind. You're it. Look around you. You're it. You're absolutely all God's got to work with right now. Do you feel sorry for God? I don't feel sorry for him at all, because he's able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we ever ask or think. You and I are it. God has us at this stage in time, just before the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. He's got us right now for a reason, and that is to be faithful to him. God wants to use you and use me. And boy, when I think about that, I'm number one, I'm humbled that in God's sovereign purpose, he'd have chosen me and you to live in these last days before he comes back to fulfill his great commission. He's entrusted us. We ought to be humbled by that. We ought to be honored by that, that God trusted us enough to allow us to be entrusted with the gospel in these last days. What a blessing. But my emphasis this morning is on this great cloud. So great a cloud of witnesses. I'm thinking now, I was talking in revival recently when I was preaching up near Mount Airy. I was thinking about the fact that I personally, since January, have done 14 funerals for friends and loved ones and folk from this church and from this community. 14. You think about that. In just these few months already. But God is adding to that great cloud on the other side of witnesses. Oh, you say, Brother Biddle, what are they doing? What's that great cloud of witnesses doing? I promise you this. Number one, that great cloud is worshiping our Savior. Oh, listen, they are there in a state. They are basking in his radiance. He said, I want you to be where I am, that you might behold me in my glory. When Moses went up on the mountain and came back down, the Bible said his face glowed and he had to put a veil on it. He couldn't even talk with the people. Now, was that something special about Moses? No. He'd been in the very presence of the white hot holiness of God, and that glow off of God had infected him and caused him to glow. It was not him glowing. It was the radiance of the residual glory of God on him when he came down off that mountain. God manifest himself in the life of that man. Think about it. He said, I want you to be where I am that you might behold my glory. And my dear friend, now those of us, those of our family, those of our loved ones, those dear saints of God over all the years who've served and been a member of this church are now part of that great cloud. I mean, they're there with Abraham, with Isaac, with Jacob, with the Apostle Paul, with John the Baptist, and with all the dear saints of God who've already gone. They've been added to that great cloud. And they are there worshiping their Savior and magnifying him for what he's done. But then they're also not only basking in his radiance, but they are praising him for the reality of salvation. I mean, it's real. I believe it's real. You believe it's real. But when you enter that city where there's no sickness, no sorrow, no pain, where there's only joy and bliss for all eternity, when you enter that place called heaven, my dear friend, it'll be reality for you like you've never known before. It'll not be what you've imagined. It'll be far superior to that. And Lord, listen, that great cloud of witnesses up there now, they are basking in his radiance, and they're praising him for the reality of salvation. They're really there. They're going to live forever. They're there. Oh, listen, they are there worshiping because of a great reunion. Their loved ones who were older there, they're together. Moms and dads and sons and daughters, family members, all there who are already on the other side. And what a joy they're having. What a joy they're having and rejoicing together and praising God together. Oh, listen, they're in that place rejoicing in that great reunion that they're experiencing in that cloud. They're worshiping Him for His salvation. They're worshiping Him for the reality that they are now there with their loved ones, never to be separated again for all eternity. What a blessing. They are worshiping Him, giving Him glory. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, those hallelujahs there, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then it talks about that great crowd, the 24 elders, as they fall down, they worship the Lamb. And they said, the Lamb who shed His blood for us and hath redeemed us out of every kindred, every tongue, every tribe. All the saints from all the ages, from all different nationalities are there in heaven and they're worshiping Him. Why? Because of His redemptive work on Calvary. That's the theme of heaven. That is the theme of heaven. Thank God for the shed blood of the Lamb of God. Thank God for what He's done for us, and they're worshiping Him. But not only are they worshiping Him, they're watching us. The fact that it says they are witnesses, I believe it says that they watch us. Now, I do not know how this works. I don't understand it because I know there's no sadness in heaven. There's no tears in heaven. And so when we mess up, and there are things that would be an embarrassment to them or would hurt them. I don't know how, but somehow or another God shields them from that. You say, Brother Billy, do you think they know when somebody gets saved? Do you think that the GP and Ailey's knew when their boys got saved? Just as sure as I'm standing here. Because the Bible said that there's rejoicing in the presence of the angels over one sinner that repenteth. Now, He didn't say the angels rejoice. They don't comprehend salvation. They worship. They fly back and forth across heaven saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, Thou art holy. But they don't comprehend salvation because, see, God never made a redemptive plan for those angels that kept not their first estate. Those angels that rebelled against Him, some consigned in the pit and to be led out during the tribulation period, some here in the form of demons in this world, but He never did any kind of redemptive plan for them. They alienated from Him and they'll be in the lake of fire for all eternity as well, tormented day and night. But my dear friend, for those dear creatures like you and I that He fashioned out of dust and blew in their nostrils the breath of life and Adam became a living soul, He gave His only begotten Son for us and saved us. And now those who have experienced the reality of that or who are in heaven now, they're watching. I believe they know when their loved ones get saved. I believe, and Brother Burke's grandson testified he hadn't been saved so long. I know this. I believe Brother Burke knew that already. Ms. Burke knew that already. They've already rejoicing on the streets of gold. When you got saved, your loved ones who were in that great cloud, they were witnessing that. They were watching that. They saw you. They saw you. God bless you. But, oh, my dear friend, listen, although they don't know, somehow or another, I just believe my heart. I don't have any Bible, please. But I don't believe they see me mess up when I mess up. I don't believe that they see my failures. But you know what? God does. God does. And the Bible said, I can grieve the Holy Spirit of God, whereby I'm sealed until the day of redemption. And they are watching us. We have a great cloud of witnesses. And Paul said, because we have such a great cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. I don't have to ask you if you have any weights. I don't have to ask you if you have sins that beset you, certain things that you have trouble with. And I promise you, I don't care if you're a preacher or a missionary or a Bible teacher or just a housewife or a farmhand. Every one of us have weights and we all have sins. And he said, because of this great cloud of witness that's watching, he said, let's lay aside everything and let's be faithful to God. Let's serve God in these last days. And the challenge is to me and you. We're it. We're it. We're all God's got to work with now in these last days. I'm honored and humbled by that at the same time. But God wants to use me and you in these last days. But can I say this to you? Not only are they worshiping our Savior, not only are they watching us, but they're waiting for us. I believe that with all my heart. I believe that they're waiting on the other side. But in this passage of Scripture, I want you to look back in chapter number 11. You have Hebrews chapter 12. Notice what he says in verse 39 of chapter 11, next to the last verse. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Now, what's that mean? It means that they are redeemed by the grace of God. They have believed in Him. I believe they're in heaven. But everything's not completed. Everything's not perfect yet. The final ceremony hadn't happened yet. The marriage supper of the Lamb hadn't happened yet. He has been exalted and recognized as King of Kings and Lord of Lords hadn't happened yet because we're not there. They're anticipating our arrival. They're waiting for us to get there before they crown Him King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I know in eternity, and I know being sovereign, He is. But I'm just saying there's coming a day at the marriage supper of the Lamb when we all sit down with Him and there'll be a type of completion. They're waiting for us now. They're anticipating our arrival. They're looking for you to be there. You've got loved ones there, a mom or dad, a grandparent, maybe a child. There is in their heart a sense of anticipation, expecting you to come, expecting you to be there. Believe with all their heart that you're going to be there. My dear friend, I don't want to disappoint the Lord. I want to be what He wants me to be in these last days. I want to consider Him and be faithful, not faint. In spite of all that goes on in my life or your life, let's don't faint. Let's just be faithful to God and honor God. We're all God's got in these last days. But they're waiting for us now because there's an old song that said, they can't crown Him king till I get there. And He's going to be crowned King and King. Glory, I know that. But there is coming a coronation time. There is coming a judgment seat of Christ. There is coming a marriage supper of the Lamb. And they can't celebrate till we get there. They're anticipating your arrival. They're waiting for you to come. This great cloud of witnesses ought to motivate me and you to want to be faithful to Jesus. I was looking the other day, Regina had some old pictures that somebody had sent her, and we were looking back. Well, I was looking at maybe the picture albums or something, and then there was something on the internet too on Facebook she showed me. And then I walked in the office, and she was sitting in the office in there, and I got to looking, and up on our little shelves in there, we've got pictures of her dad and her mom and some of our family. And there's a picture of her daddy holding our little girl, Christy. And Regina, you can just see her arm. That's all you can see of her. She's kind of out of the picture. But I looked, and Regina's daddy, Mr. Vivert, Kit Vivert, is in heaven. And our little girl, Christy, is in heaven. And I stood there, and I thought about the last thing the Lord let me see. And I've shared it before, and I wasn't even intending on sharing. I just ran through my mind. But our first little girl died with leukemia up here in Duke Hospital. And Regina and I were there at the hospital that night by ourselves. We didn't have any of our family with her when she died. And we were able to spend some time with her there before we had to leave her. And after she died, and we were driving back, and Regina was crying. And I had surrendered to priest just a short time before that. And in my heart, and I'm not a big, I don't preach about visions and all that stuff, but I know God shows us things. I know God showed somebody something very real not long ago about a loved one who'd gone on to be with the Lord. And I believe that with all my heart. But I was there. I was driving a car. It was just night. I was oblivious to anybody else on the highway. Don't even know how we got from Durham back to Grand Rapids. Regina was there. She'd been crying so much she couldn't cry anymore. And the Lord just kind of reached up and He pulled the veil back on heaven for my heart. Last time we saw our little girl, they'd shaved her head and they had IVs in her head and all over her and everything. She had the most beautiful little hair. I think about our little girl, little friend over here, and her beautiful auburn hair. That's what Christy's hair looked like. And have the Lord open that vision in my heart. And that afternoon, Regina and I had to go out while they worked with her and Dad Duke. They had a little garden area and they had some fish. And Christy loved fish and this little bridge. And we stood there and looked at those fish. And I told Regina, I said, I bet Christy'd like to be here right now. And that night, while we were riding in that dark, dark night, and dark in our soul, because of our little girl dying, God opened the veil of heaven for me, and I saw our little girl, Christy. And she, I didn't see the Lord, but it was just one of those things, you can't, indescribable beauty. And she was just absolutely beautiful, little white dress and full head of auburn hair. And she was holding a hand. I assumed it was the Lord. They came down by the river of life, thrown out of the throne of God. She stood there for a moment, and she said the very same thing I'd said that day earlier. She said, I bet my daddy'd love to be here right now. I got news for you, friends. There's folk waiting for you on the other side. You've got moms and dads and family over there. But the most anticipated or the most anxious person for you to be there is the Lord Jesus Christ. He loved you and died for you. He said, I'm not willing that any should perish. He wanted every one of us to be where he's at to behold his glory. But thank God for that crowd. Miss Judy, you come help me. We're going to cut the lights down. Miss Trudy put this together for me. I had it, God put it in my heart some time ago to do this today. The crowd, that great cloud of witnesses in heaven is getting bigger every day. Let's remember for just a few moments some of our friends and family who are now part of that so great a cloud of witnesses.
I can just see them walking on the shore of heaven, preaching the Lord and watching the tide. Such a beauty.
you bow your heads for a moment, please, this morning? And I appreciate the families who brought pictures in. There are probably, you know, many, many, many more families, many other of our church family who's in that great cloud of witnesses right now. And I do believe that with all my heart. I believe they could speak to us now. They'd say, "We wish you were here." They're worshiping the Savior. They're watching our service. But they're waiting for our arrival. What a day that's going to be. What a wonderful, wonderful day. I don't know what you need to do this morning, but I'd say this to you. Number one, if you're not saved, He loved you and He died for you, but you must receive Him as your Savior. If you're here this morning, you may be a visitor, a guest, maybe somebody who's been attending, maybe even a member of the church, but you don't know Him for sure as your Savior. I'd invite you this morning to come and trust Him as your Savior. Receive Him. There are good ladies who will pray with the ladies, men who will pray with the men. Maybe you just want to come this morning as a Christian. God spoke to your heart, and you want to make a commitment, first of all, to the Lord. Consider Him that endured such contradictions of sinners, yet He remained faithful, and that you and I ought to be faithful in these last days. Understand this. You're it. We're the ones that God chose to finish out the church age, to be faithful to Him, carry the gospel around the world. Let's do our very best with our prayers, with our participation, and with our money. Let's honor God in these last days to get the gospel out. Maybe if you're a Christian, you've been out of fellowship. What a good time to come home, back to Him, get back into fellowship with Him. Maybe you've been praying about a church home, somewhere you could serve the Lord. We'd invite you to come by letter or statement. If you want to come and be a part of this church family, we'd love to have you. Let's stand together. As we're standing, Brad's going to sing a verse or two of a song. And if you feel God speaking to your heart, if you need to come, you just want to come, get around this altar and thank God for Him. Thank the Lord. Worship Him as does your family members on the other side for a few moments. Worship Him right where you are. Feel free to worship Him. Raise your hand. Heavenly Father, I pray, God, the Holy Ghost right now. Oh, God, will do a work in the hearts of men and women, boys and girls. Lord, please don't let anybody here die and go to hell. I pray, God, that every one of them be saved. I pray, God, you speak to their heart. And God, if there's a question mark, that now on this Sunday homecoming 2013, they'll settle it once and for all and know for sure that they're saved and heaven's their home. I pray, God, Lord Jesus, for those, Lord, who are Christians, but out of fellowship with you, not serving you like they ought to. I pray, God, this morning that, God, you'd speak to their heart, that this would be a time of rededication, recommitment, and, Father, that they make a holy vow this morning to you, that they will run their race with patience, that they'll be faithful to you, and, Lord, fulfill their responsibilities in these last days. And then, God, for those who just want to come and say thank you for my loved one, that's on the other side. I know they're well and healthy, and we thank you for that. Thank you for heaven. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that, God, you're going to let us all be together. I don't know what you need to do, but I pray you'll come. Heavenly Father, I pray right now, God, the Holy Ghost to speak to hearts. God, help men and women, boys and girls to do now what they'll be glad for all eternity they've done. And God, I'll thank you.